and also go forth from there. As you remember, the challenge was for 4,000. We're very pleased to announce that we have ended up with $8,500. So let's hear it. Thank you all, one and every one of you, for your support in this area. And because we have raised $8,500, we have placed a call to the Great White North, where we are going to be asking Ole and Lena to come forth, the cousins of Dr. Lam and his lovely wife, Roxanne. So let's see if we can bring forth Ole and Lena. It's Ole and Lena. Furthermore, we need Pastor Michael Solomink to come up to the front. We are set.
Get comfortable.
Yeah. Hello there. I'm Ole Olsen, and this here's my wife, Lena. Yeah. And doesn't she look spiffy today in her nice coat here? Yes. Boy, that's a beautiful coat.
Thank you, Ole. I like to dress up when I go on the airplanes.
Yeah, yeah. But you know, Lena, it might get a little warm in here, so maybe you should take your coat off here,
okay.
I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wore my best apron on the airplane. It got a little wrinkled.
She's beautiful on the inside, too, there, you see.
Could you hold this? You're not going anywhere, are you?
Yeah, that's now. You be careful with that. There's a lot of roadkill went into that coat there. And Lena did such a good job of stitching that up. She got all the tread marks on the inside there. Yeah, she's a good sewer. Say, we're glad to be back with you here. We came all the way from Minnesota. But, yeah.
Go Vikings.
Go Vikings, yeah. But you know, it was a little scary. We almost didn't make it there.
Oh, I was so scared.
Yeah.
I have never been on a flight of the Lutheran Airlines before.
Yeah.
The hymn sing was great, and the potluck was out of this world.
Yeah.
But the landing, scary.
That was scary. Yeah. But, you know, those folks in rows 10B through 12C, they had the good salads there.
They were the best.
But the landing, yeah. Oh, man, it's a good thing Cousin Sven was the pilot there of the Lutheran Airlines. He came on the speaker thing and he said, folks, you buckle up and you hang on for your dear lives because this runway here in Cincinnati is the shortest runway I've ever seen in my life. And sure enough, the minute the wheels hit the ground, Sven hit the brakes and we were smoking and people were lunging forward and things was flying everywhere and... Say, Lena, that reminds me, did you ever get your teeth back?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, sure, you betcha. Tops and bottoms.
Yeah.
They were in the guy's jello in front of us. And I should tell you what he told me. What
did he say to you, Lena?
You've got the nicest smile.
Oh. Lena's always flirting with the guys. But anyways... Sven finally got the plane to a stop just in the nick of time there. And when things settled down, I looked out the window, you know, and he was right. This was the shortest runway I had ever seen. And another weird thing about it was it had to be over 1,000 feet wide.
It was, yeah, sure.
Well, You said they wouldn't get that yoke, you know.
They're a smart bunch.
Anyway, Lena, this here is Pastor Solomon.
Pastor Solomon.
Yeah.
And he's the guy we're supposed to cook.
No, Lena, we're not supposed to cook him. We're going to roast him.
I don't think he's going to fit in the oven.
No, Lena, when you roast someone like this, that means you make fun of them. You know, like we did to that Diane Schroeder lady in Des Moines. Remember that?
You make fun of them.
Yeah, Lena, yeah.
Okay. He must be a Norwegian then.
No, Lena, he is not Norwegian. Oh. He's Dutch.
Oh.
Dutch.
Dutch.
Yeah.
Like those dates you used to take me on. No. Are you
Lena, no. That means his ancestors, they're from Holland, you know, where they have tulips.
Tulips?
Yeah.
Well, we're from Norway, and we got tulips. You too.
No,
keep
Lena,
your mouth shut.
The flowers, we're talking.
Oh, the flowers, flowers.
Anyways, Pastor Solomon here is going to be the new executive director of Lutherans for Life. He's going to take Cousin Yim's place, you know.
Well, that ain't going to be too hard.
Now, Lena, don't be so hard on Cousin Yim.
Well, think about it. Ole, how many of these conferences have we been to?
A lot of them, yeah.
And he's never showed up to watch us yet.
Well, Lena, he's a busy man, you know. Yeah. But let's get back to Pastor Solomon here.
Okay.
Yeah. Because Cousin Yim told me some secrets about him.
Secrets?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
I love secrets. tell me.
Well, it seems he doesn't always obey traffic laws.
Ooh.
Yeah. It seems there was a time when he was real young that he actually lost his license for speeding, you know. But we're not going to share that secret here because these folks don't need to know that.
No. They should not know that.
The secret Yim told me is Pastor Solomon and Cousin Yim, they were in a rental car down in Houston, you know, one time. And Pastor Solomon was driving. They came to one of those toll things, you know.
Yep.
And instead of going into the cash pay lane, he went into the easy pass lane.
There. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's the problem?
He did not have an easy pass.
Ooh, yeah. naughty.
Yeah, but he said that was just a mistake, but then Yim said they came to the next one, and he did the same thing.
Oh,
again.
No. He's not too bright. Oh, you're naughty, but you know, you are kind of cute.
Yeah.
And what's his first name?
Oh, his first name is Michael, but he doesn't like to be called Mike.
Oh, well, I'll just call him Mikey. You really are cute, Mikey.
Lena, I don't think he would like Mikey either.
Oh.
Yeah. And Pastor Solomon, he also doesn't like pets very much.
You got to be kidding.
Especially dogs.
You got to be kidding.
No, he doesn't like dogs, and he really doesn't like it when people name dogs with human names, you know.
You got to be kidding.
Yeah, and then what he really gets him is if you talk to your dog like, you know, it's a little baby kind of talking.
Oh my.
He doesn't like that at all.
We've got trouble, real trouble. He's pretty dull guy, I think.
Now, Lena, you've got to be nice to him.
Well, I am nice to him. I even brought him a present. But I don't think I should give it to him.
You don't want to give it to him?
No,
why not, Lena?
No, I don't think he's going to like it.
Well, why wouldn't he like a present from you, Lena?
It's a dog.
I see.
His name is Mike. And he's being potty trained. Now you hold Mike soft and gentle, and he should be fresh and dry. And here's some spare. And we went through lots lately. He's not doing so well. But yeah, you're being gentle with Mike, and now Mikey, talk to him like, say, you're certainly a pretty puppy.
Certainly a pretty puppy.
Try it again, Mikey. Now tell him you're going to be best friends.
We're going to be the best friends.
Oh, you will be. I know you will be. I'm a little worried, though, about this Dutch dude.
Well, I think we better bring this roast thing to an end.
Well,
now,
really, I don't know about a roast, but I think this guy's goose is cooked.
Yeah. I think we should pose for some pictures here, you know, because I know these folks, we get some pictures here with Pastor Solomon, and they'll be on the World Wide Web there very soon.
Oh, yeah. Well.
So let's stand by him and let folks get some pictures.
Okay. Keep the puppy smiling.
Yeah. Talk nice to nice puppy, puppy.
Nice puppy, puppy. Puppy. You're going to be best friends.
Yes, they are. Is Mike smiling?
He looks a little scared.
Yeah. Well, Pastor Solomon, we wish you the best here, taking over for Cousin Yim.
No problem.
We think you'll do a very good job. God bless you, and God bless all of Lutherans for life.
Here's your carry case so you can get him home.
I think he wet your coat.
Oh, my coat, my roadkill coat.
I thought it was made of mink.
I'm married to Ole. This is not mink. Oh, I think that.
As always, we're very grateful to Ole and Lena for making the trip all the way from the Great White North. And at this time, it's my privilege to introduce our national director, Mr. Scott Lick. Scott is the man, actually, who keeps Lutherans for Life running. He is the one responsible for managing everything from soup to nuts at our national office. Many of you, many of you are familiar with Scott's voice on the other end of the phone. Please help me in welcoming him, Scott Licht.
Just take a little bit of time to introduce the staff for you. These folks I am incredibly blessed to work with, and you are just incredibly blessed to be served by them. And I really want to emphasize that, because the national staff is here to serve you, the front lines, because we're 10 or 11 people, and all we can do is provide you with the things that you need to be able to touch thousands of people. And so that's how we look at it, is it's our privilege to serve you. And so please reach out to us if there's anything we can do better for you, or anything, any ideas that you have, ways that we can serve you better, resources that you need. Please share with us your ideas, and just let us know how we're doing, and so that we can serve you better. So in alphabetic order, just because I'm that way, one of our newer team members is Barb Geistfeld. You want to stand up, Barb? Barb is, yes. Barb is our regional director for Texas after Gene Amundson. Gene is here, so yes. Gene served Lutherans for Life for so many years as the president of the Texas Federation, and then as the Texas Regional Director, and just a wonderful person to work with. And Barb is not missing a beat, and she's a retired veterinarian. She has worked with the LCMC as the district secretary for several years, so she knows a lot of people there, and she has just absolutely hit the ground running. So we're very excited and very blessed to have Barb working with us. Our newest employee, Debbie, Debbie Fries. Yes. As we were kind of looking at some personnel changes and trying to look at, okay, how can we structure this thing to work as efficiently as possible? And we kind of came up with a plan, and we thought, okay, well, here's one position that would really help. And I had no clue how much one person could take the load off of so many other people. And Debbie is that person who has just stepped in, and she's very organized and detail-oriented. And when you send in a donation, Debbie's the person who opens the mail and who does that processing, the first step of that process. And when you call into the office, if you don't get my voice, you get Debbie's voice, usually, or Katie, but it's usually one of us. So we are very blessed to have Debbie with us. Maybe I'll take a step back. We have really decentralized the office as well. You know, where we used to have, when I first started, we had 9 or 10 people in the office every day, and we all worked in one office. Now we have 2 full-time people and one part-time person in the office every day. And then Jerry and Kim come down once in a while. So we've really changed how we work because people are out where they need to be among the front lines people and where they work more efficiently. And so I'll talk about that a little bit as we go too. So one of the people I just mentioned also was Jerry Richard in back there. Jerry's been with us many years. I sound like she's really old, but she does have somebody in college already, as a daughter in college. Jerry has been one of the beneficiaries of Debbie coming on board. Jerry is our data analyst, and so when John Hawkins needs information about a certain part of the country, Jerry will run reports out of Donor Perfect, and we'll do her magic with the data to come up with the information that we need. And so Jerry's really starting to hit her stride now that she can focus on that part of her job. John Hawkins, you've heard way too much from him already, so. John lives down in Texas, near Austin, and we'll forgive him for that. He is our development director, and he has been doing a wonderful job, and I really have this phobia about asking people for money. It's just one thing that I'm just not comfortable with. And so I'm very thankful that there are people like John who can do it in a gentle way and help you understand that you're helping our ministry. And John does a wonderful job at that. I don't want to play favorites, but one of my favorites is Katie Friedrich. There we go. Katie works part-time Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, and she enters all of the data into our database. And I could just be having the worst day in the world, and Katie will come in and give me a hug, or you'll hear her laugh or something, and it's just like, okay, yeah, everything's good. So thank you, Katie, for that. Kim Nessa. Yeah. Kim and Jerry both hail from the metropolis of Garden City, Iowa, which is about 30 miles north of Nevada. So they work from home primarily, and they once in a while Jerry will commute to Kim's office, which is a block away, which is half the distance of the town. So But Kim has stepped into a really tough role because she has done so many different things. I would guess that she's probably the one person at LFL who has had the most job titles over her career. And her current job title, and the one that I really hope she settles into and sticks with, is she's the accountant. So she pays the bills, and so she's really taken on a big role there. And she's done accounting work in the past, but not with LFL. So I'm just very grateful for her stepping into that role. And then Laura Davis, our Y for Life director. Laura hails from Texas as well, and will never let us forget that. But now she lives in St. Louis. She is our Y for Life director, and she is, as a boss, you love to have people take initiative. And Laura is one of those people that you can just kind of give, well, I'm better off just getting out of her way. And just because she comes up with ideas that there is no way in the world that I would ever think of. And so Laura has just really grown this program and is doing wonderful things with the youth. Laurie, we always have to make the distinction between Laura and Laurie. So this is Laurie Trinchy. So we have state federation presidents and we have regional directors, and those cover 13 states. And you notice that there are 50 states and there are 13 federations or regions. So the difference is covered by Lori. So she has a monumental task, and she's doing a phenomenal job there too. So we really appreciate Lori. Lowell, up in front here. Lowell Hybe has recently moved back home over the summer, moved back to Lamberton, Minnesota, another thriving metropolis. But I grew up, 40 miles away from there too, so I'm a little bit envious. But Lowell and his son Alex live in Lamberton now and live across the parking lot from where Lowell's parents live in the assisted living facility. And so it's been a really good fit for Lowell to be able to work there. Someone who maybe you've seen her, or maybe she's been moving too quickly that you haven't been able to see her, but this is the last, but certainly not least, person on the staff, and that's Virginia Flo, way in back. Virginia started with us as the regional director of Minnesota, and she's one of those people who, try to hold her down to a part-time job. And part-time means only like 50 hours a week. But then we went and added to her responsibilities that of national conference director. So all the things that have happened the last few days are just all on Virginia's back, and she has just really put this together well, I think. She really deserves a round of applause. So thank you. That's the staff. I really appreciate all that you and the front lines do for us. And I really would throw out, please let us know what we can do for you better. If you've got ideas, please let us know, because we are absolutely here to serve you. And then you, in turn, serve your congregations and serve society. We influence society to value life as well. So with that, I think I will flip forward. Are we ready for the video, Virginia? Is that okay? This is a highlight of where we will be next year. Thank you.
that we just so swim in it from the minute we wake up to the minute we go to bed at night that we don't see it anymore. So I'd like to take just a couple of minutes to help us all see the water we're swimming in a little bit better. Specifically, I'd like to suggest to you three other beatitudes that we get from the media that we tend to live instead of the beatitudes we just heard of the Sermon on the Mount. And everything I'm about to tell you is obvious. Everything I'm about to tell you is obvious. And that is exactly the problem.
Jumps off, leaps out of every page of the Bible. It verily bubbles out of Jesus' lips. There are pervasive texts like Genesis 1, the image of God, Exodus 21, where specific provision is made for punishment for those who kill a life in the womb. An ethic of the inherent value of every human life conceived, no matter what its form or malformity. Simply put, for Jesus, there is no life unworthy of living. In fact, the Christ turns the human value system completely on its head to the great joy of the least.
Messy up here. Thank you, Virginia. Virginia is the one in her spare time who put that video together for us. So she has some talents in that. This is in the notes that we take as staff and stuff about what's going to happen next. I think this was labeled a not-so-sappy goodbye from the executive director. But we kind of took care of that last night a bit. In Proverbs 19:21, the mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Can any of you identify with that? I think a lot of us can. I know I can. I can. I've always had plans. Since fifth grade, I wanted to be a physician. I did. I read Tom Dooley books, not the cowboy Tom Dooley, but the physician in Laos, and I wanted to be a physician and just help folks. When I was in confirmation class, my pastor, who confirmed Roxanne and I, kept nudging me every once in a while, saying, you know, you might want to consider being a pastor. And I said, no. Then our pastor during our teen years and college years, a pastor who married Roxanne and I, every once in a while would nudge me and say, you should consider being a pastor. And I said, no. In 1982, I was ordained into the holy ministry. And then I got a call from this gal, what was her name? Linda Bartlett, that's it, wanting to put my name on a list of candidates for the executive director of Lutherans for Life. And I said, no. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. And I guess we can thank God for that, can't we? That he is the one directing our steps. And he has been the one, who's been directing the steps of Lutherans for Life for so many, many years. And for that we praise and honor and thank him. Because it really doesn't matter who's at the helm. God is the one who will always direct the steps of this ministry. I do want to, and I don't be sappy about it, I just want to say some thank yous to, there's a lot of folks, I'm not going to thank everybody. I didn't have even time to do it last night, but to thank the Von Tromp family for showing up. They were great. I just thought they were great. And I know Pastor Solomon introduced you and mentioned Scott here a bit, but I just want to especially thank Scott for when he came on, he really lifted a lot of things from my shoulders and allowed me to be out there more and more. So I just truly appreciate Scott and all the staff. I want to thank the staff for putting up with me, for dealing with me. I'm not always so nice and gentle. I don't know if you realize that, but you know, staff kind of see the other side of folks like me sometimes, and they've always dealt with that and have made a lot of mistakes and bad decisions in these past years. And that's the great thing, isn't it, about God directing the steps, because he works through even those things to accomplish his will. So my thanks to the staff, because they've just always been very supportive. And then I save the best for last, because and I don't want to offend you, Pastor Solomink, or you, Heather, but please understand, second place isn't too bad, because the most beautiful woman in this conference is my wife, Roxanne. You know, I'd like to say, she's been by my side the whole time, But what's so wonderful about her is that she hasn't been by my side. She's been at home, and I've been off running around. But she has always been faithful, and as she loves to say, I keep his underwear clean. So, and she is good at that role, and she's very much appreciated. I love you. She has changed her tone. This last year has been especially busy, and she's gone from saying, do you know how many days you've been home this month? To, you know how many hours you've been home this month? So maybe it's time to slow down. But this ministry will not slow down. And, you know, we had a board of directors meeting here on Thursday, state presidents met on Friday, and I could go into all kinds of details, but we all want to kind of get on the road here. But I just want you to know that this ministry is up and running, and the future looks really good. You know, we got plans for more regions that we're looking at and getting more regional directors, and life teams are growing and life chapters are doing great. There's so much more being done out there on the front lines, and that's because of all of you. You are Lutherans for life, but there's going to be more coming down from national in a number of ways. You have a really, I think, one of the best board of directors I've worked with over the years in staff right now. And John Hawkins, our director of development, is doing a great job. There's just so many positive things happening that I feel real comfortable just sneaking out of here. So it's been good, and it will be good. You have much, much to look forward to. But now I want to introduce the executive director elect. Yes, until December 3rd. Have I told you that? Yes, okay. Pastor Michael Solomink, and he will lead the conference in our closing devotion this afternoon.
I left my gift from Ole and Lena up here. Along with a little bit of a mess. So that the expectations for the new executive director will be low. Because the truth is, I'm very excited about the work we have to do together. I intend to devote all the resources that I have at my disposal and sacrifice everything about me for continuing to broadcast the message of the way that God loves life and what that means, especially for people like you and me who are hurting and broken people. And I intend to devote everything I have to that. But I'm going to make a mess of it. Because that's what people do. So I'm thankful to Dr. Lamb for reminding us that the Lord marks out our steps. There's a few people that we should at least remember with gratitude before the Lord as we conclude our conference. That would be the staff of this facility, the Creation Museum, who has been such great hosts to us, and our large group over this weekend. They've been very hospitable and top-notch first-class service to us. We're grateful to them. Also to the staff of the Marriott, where we had our events yesterday and also our meetings on Thursday. They have been at our beck and call, and we're very appreciative for that. The Northern Kentucky Convention and Visitors Bureau has gone above and beyond any expectations we would have had for them and have been very hospitable to our time here in this region. We also owe a big debt of gratitude to especially to our local Lutherans for Life, who have helped us out with so many things behind the scenes, helped us out with registration, making arrangements, and have made everything go smoothly. And last but not least, I do want to allow us one last time to recognize Virginia Flo, because an awful lot of work goes into this conference, and she's done just a fantastic job. We've enjoyed our time here. We've been edified. Thank you, Virginia. As we depart, I share with you the word of our Lord from the Gospel according to St. Luke in the 10th chapter. At that time, the Lord appointed 72 others and sent them on ahead of him two by two into every town and place where he himself was about to go. And he said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray earnestly to the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Go your way. Behold, I am sending you out as lambs in the midst of wolves." And the 72 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And he said to them, "I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. And behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. We did not gather here this weekend to defund Planned Parenthood, though we would welcome that development. We didn't come together just to point out that there are organizations and factions in our nation that are blatantly breaking the law, though we are indignant at the fact that it's happening. We didn't come together just to protest the harvesting and marketing of babies' bodies, though let the world know that we adamantly oppose something that is so obviously irrational and horribly immoral taking place in our communities. We did not come to Northern Kentucky to advocate for a reversal of Roe v. Wade, though let it be clear that we do indeed long for that day. We did not come together to criticize compassion and choices or the state of California for allowing the lives of the least of these brothers and sisters of Christ to be endangered and undermined, though we will be the first and the loudest to speak that criticism. We did not come here just to represent the defenseless and be the voice for the vulnerable, though we will neither be still nor silent as long as there are those who are defenseless and vulnerable. We did not come just to proclaim abortion wrong and physician-assisted suicide evil and call promiscuity sinful, though we will insist that it is. We did not come together just because there are places, facilities, institutions in our neighborhoods that lessen and threaten our common humanity, though we are declaring that they do that very thing. We did not come here because there are procedures that endanger the inalienable rights of us all, though we contend that this constitutes the greatest danger to us. We did not come here to memorialize 42 years of victims, 57 million martyrs and countless walking wounded casualties, since the blood of the innocent and the tears of the oppressed cry out from the ground to all of human history. We did not come here just to grieve the degeneration of family and marriage and sexuality, though we do indeed vehemently lament it. We did not come here just to demonstrate our objection that the miracle of procreation has been reduced to something mechanical, and children are becoming commodities, and our elders are becoming burdens. Though we testify that our culture has accepted that sad truth. We did not come here just because we regret our own previous apathy and inactivity, though we do confess that we have contributed to our nation's corruption. We did not come here even just because we regret and repent of our self-righteousness. We repent the way that we complacently complain. We repent the way that we compete and compare and play by the rules that the world has set down. And we repent of our hypocritical judgmentalism and the way that we hold ourselves in higher regard than all of those others. We're not here just because we fear failure. We're not here just because we believe that we have to be victorious. We're not here because we need to be here. We came together this weekend. We came here today because God Himself is here today. We came together this weekend because Almighty God has become incarnate and took on our flesh and shared in our nature and claimed personal and final responsibility for our condition, and He dwells with us. And His coming among us gives us immeasurable dignity and unconditional sanctity in our lives and the lives of everyone else. We came here because the kingdom of the Heavenly Father has come near. And it has authority to liberate from falsehood and undo all evil. We came together because in compassion and crucifixion, Jesus Christ has already settled the debts and suffered the punishment and made up for all of the wrongs. Yes, even those wrongs. We came together because Jesus Christ has gained forgiveness, not just for all sins, but for each and every last sinner. We came together because I am forgiven. And you are forgiven. And they are forgiven. We all are forgiven and loved by God and are forgiven before Him. We came together because we know that the gospel is the greatest for-life message in all the universe. And they need to know, and we desperately want them to know, that that forgiveness is for them. We are here because the Son of God and Mary's Son is resurrected from death, and there is hope in His name, and there is healing in His word, and there is peace in His way. We are here because this incarnate and resurrected and crucified God who is called Jesus, He means everlasting life that is universal. He means there is a heavenly kingdom that is unconditional, and there is an ultimate, total salvation from all that we see and feel, and it is for such as us and for the least of these. We are here because the Savior Jesus is the Lord Jesus, who has ascended and enthroned and reigning and returning, and His love redeems all people and all situations for His good purpose. We are here because the same Father, Son, and Spirit God who is embracing us into a better way also longs for all people, from the infant and the unborn to the egotistical and the afraid and the elderly and the infirm. He longs for every one of them to be saved and to come to a knowledge of the truth and the way and the life that he freely and fiercely gives and preserves. We are here because we know that the fall and the curse that we have wrought will be repealed, and creation is being restored to righteousness already. And our Alpha and Omega has given us all a front row invitation to witness and participate in that restoration. We are here today. We have come together to embody and deliver this gospel Christ to broken lives and wounded spirits and hearts enslaved. We're here, we have come together to embody and deliver this gospel Christ, not in speech or sentiment only, but even in deeds. My friends, God has brought us to this place and this time, not because of fear or anger, but because of love and joy and hope. We are here today because we want to be here, because God is among his people, because Jesus himself is within the least of his brothers and sisters, his people, his children, and he is working repentance, and he is working forgiveness and everlasting salvation that cannot be impeded by our failures. We've come together this weekend, but we will not stay together this weekend. Because we are not just here, we are there. Wherever we go and whatever we have privilege, opportunity, and vocation to do, we go because changed hearts change not just minds, but lives. And changed lives changed not just local laws, but the world and human history and eternity. God grant it to them and to us and to all in this age and in the greater age to come, for Jesus' sake. Let us pray. Lord God, you have called your servants to ventures of which we cannot see the ending, by paths as yet untrodden, through perils unknown. For the sake of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and by his grace, forgiveness, and support, give us faith to go out with good courage, not knowing where we go, but only that your hand is holding us and your love is leading us. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.